Good evening and welcome to Jailbreak. I'm Ariane, and if you're not familiar with this show, Jailbreak's a radio program for prisoners, family members and ex-prisoners and the community. And Jailbreak features music recorded in New South Wales correctional centres by prison inmates, and wherever possible we try and canvass the views of people caught up in the criminal justice system. This week we're going to revisit the thorny issue of needle exchange programs in Australian prisons. The fact is there are none, but there are many different parties that would like this to change. Shortly we'll hear from participants of a forum that took place today on this topic. But firstly, I'd like to mention that tonight's program has been partially produced at community radio station 2NCR in Lismore, and so I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the Lismore area, as well as the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation for those of you listening into 2SER at Broadway, and pay respects to the elders both past and present. This week is National Hepatitis Awareness Week, and today a forum was hosted in Canberra by AVIL, the Australian Injecting and Illicit Drug Users League. The forum was titled Needle Exchange Programs in Australian Prisons, Making It Happen, and it featured some very passionate and prominent speakers, including prisoner advocate Wayne Kappa and Dr. Alex Wodak, who's the director of the Alcohol and Drug Service at St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. Well, we'll catch up with them a little later on in the show, but firstly, let's hear from AVIL's Hepatitis C Treatment Officer, Steve Lipke, to find out why AVIL decided to host the forum. I spoke to Steve prior to the forum taking place. Steve Lipke, welcome to Jailbreak.
Thanks, Ariane. Good to be here.
Steve, why is the non-existence of needle exchange programs in Australian prisons such an important issue to AVIL?
Well, there's a number of reasons for that. I guess they're practical and sort of moral philosophical reasons. But we believe that there is a duty of care that the Australian government has to all prisoners, all people who are incarcerated, to provide them with healthcare standards that are equivalent of those in the general community. And in fact, the Australian government has issued statements to say to that effect that all prisoners, all inmates, should have the same standard of healthcare as people in the general community. And that obviously isn't being upheld. So for that reason, but also on a practical reason, NEPs reduce the transmission of HIV and hepatitis C and hepatitis B and other bloodborne viruses. And so due to the high viral pool of things like hepatitis C in prison, we believe that that's a real opportunity to reduce transmission of bloodborne viruses in prison and therefore reducing transmission in the general community.
When you say there's a high viral pool, that's because about 40% of men, and I think it's like 60-something percent of women, 64, 66% of women in jail, certainly in New South Wales, are hepatitis C positive.
Yeah, that's right. And that's primarily due to a lot of injecting drug users being imprisoned. And for females, it's the figure's high, and it can go up to 75, 80% in some areas. Women in prison who are infected with hepatitis C. And the numbers for women are generally higher because men tend to get incarcerated more for violent crime and things like that, whereas women don't. And women, by and large, have been incarcerated for drug-related crime.
Why a forum? What are you hoping it can achieve, given the fact that, really, this issue has been going around in circles for many, many years?
Well, the fact that it has been going around in circles is, I guess, the main reason why we're holding this forum now. We feel it's time to get moving on this issue. There's been very little political will around it. It looked like perhaps in the ACT there was going to be a needle and syringe program that was going to be implemented in the new prison, but that didn't happen. So we feel that now it's time to advance the debate a little bit, and we thought that a public forum was a good way to do that, in that we can get a whole range of people along who can voice their own opinions and ask questions. But the point really was to open the forum right up so we could get people who would be in, who wouldn't necessarily be, I guess, on our side, as you could say, on the issue, and would have some concerns and some problems with NEPs in prisons. So we wanted to make the forum completely open so we can have, like I said, a whole range of opinions in there and debate the issues from a pragmatic point of view.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind listeners, NEPs are needle exchange programs within the prison system, which already exist in the community.
They're called NSPs, which is needle syringe programs, because there isn't the onus on exchange so much. Although the rates of return are very high in the general community needle and syringe programs. We've chosen the term NEPs for the prisons because that is a needle exchange program, and we feel that if there is going to be any sort of needle exchange program going on in prisons, that it would probably be at least initially on an exchange basis.
Listen up, people, what I gotta say. Coming to you all from Long Bay. The debate's going on and it's here to stay. We need to get ourselves a needle exchange.
Needle exchange.
Talk about diseases like HIV. It infects all the people like you and me. Hey, what about his cousin hepatitis C? Now, he's a real boss because he got me. Helping out people set the system free. We shoot up heroin, coke and speed. Needle exchange is what we need.
Eventually, it's going to be a case of duty of care. And I think the prison justice, health, and the political process really needs to address the issue of duty of care, because I think eventually it's going to cost them not only in health costs but also in legal costs now that incarceration is recognised as an independent risk factor for hepatitis C infection. I mean, duty of care applies in a lot of different areas, but in the prison context, as far as NSPs are concerned, it's the duty of care of prison officers and the prison system to provide appropriate levels of health care for their inmates.
Steve, thank you so much.
No worries, Ariane. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, I've now got Wayne Kappa on the telephone. He's the AVIL prisoner advocate. Wayne, welcome to Jailbreak.
Thank you, Ariane.
Tell me, so that listeners understand, what does it mean to be a prisoner advocate?
Well, it basically means somebody who's willing to get off their butt and get out there and try and work with government and non-government organisations to try and better the lot for prisoners that are incarcerated at the moment.
And how come you're doing that?
Well, I actually was on the other side of the fence a few years back, and I had a 3-year sentence, which I completed in 2002. And after being within the system for a 3-year period, I saw many glaring things that, you know, that did not sit well with me, especially the health of prisoners and also their families.
Hmm. So this is something that you really feel quite strongly about.
Well, it was an area that I can feel passionate about, and I find that it's not really going to work. It's just getting out there and trying to get things happening for people. And if I'm of the type of person that doesn't mind to give a person a hand if need be, so I found the best way to do that is to actually make a bit of noise and not let people get so complacent in their high towers.
Well, we always need that. So Wayne, tell us, what are prisoners currently doing in jails, given that there are no official needle exchange programs?
Okay, the jails are, and in most cases, supply bleach for the cleaning of equipment that is going to be reused. Now, there is no research that has been done as such yet that proves bleach actually kills BBVs.
So BBVs being bloodborne viruses.
Which is the hepatitis B, hepatitis C and HIV. They're giving the bleach out to prisoners to clean with water and bleach the cleaning equipment and then supposedly keeping them safe for the next person that has to use it. But as we know, no research stating that it actually clears these viruses out of the equipment, it's just danger upon danger. And what we're finding is that we'll get a group of prisoners, usually around about three or four, that will become using buddies. And basically the idea is that they'll only use the equipment between themselves to try and bring down the risk of other people that might be BBB positive of actually passing it along. I think the biggest thing that most people in prison don't realise is about hepatitis C is a lot of them still think that if you've got hep C and you're hep C positive, well, nothing worse can happen to you. A lot of them aren't aware that you can be reinfected over and over again and with different strains, which will make you sicker each time. So,
now, I think that certainly in New South Wales, they're now using a product called Fincol, which actually has been tested. And I think that certainly the New South Wales Department of Corrective Services would dispute what you're saying about their cleaning equipment. They've just introduced it.
Look, the thing is, we have to remember that what the prisoners are doing whilst in the jail is an illegal activity, as defined by the law. So they're not sitting around and having plenty of time to be able to take it in, proper precautionary steps when cleaning the equipment. Often it's done in a very furtive manner, and behind somebody looking out while the other people are using, then they swap over. You'll find that they have very little time to actually use their drugs. Therefore, the cleaning practices aren't anywhere up to standard of what they should be. So you've got a double pronged attack where they're not only worried about the custodial officers actually catching them out, but they don't want other prisoners to know as well, because you have a lot of violence in prison, and even owning injecting equipment like a fit can actually have you stood over and bashed to have that taken off you. It's one of the things that the corrective services don't like to talk about, is the fact that whilst it's prohibited to have this equipment in jail, they're actually a currency.
Yes, people want them, and people will do anything to get them from somebody else.
And if you happen to own one of them, you're in a position of power where you can actually go, well, the way it works is, it's mine, I get a share of the drugs. And if that's the case, you're going to have other people that are going to covet that. They want to be able to have that position of power. And you find that it's not many people talk about it. They'll keep it very quiet, and it's always done quickly. And I can tell you now that after what I've seen, it's not usually worried about too much about cleaning them out in any great thoroughness.
So no matter how good the Fincol is, if you're not cleaning it out properly or in the specified manner, it's almost a waste of time.
Exactly, and because of the situation that they're in, they find it very difficult to be able to do so. Often too, you'll find is the Fincol will be kept over near the office where the custodial officers are sitting. So to actually access it, they believe that they're going to be seen, and therefore they're going to be targeted, because they're using something that is strictly there to clean out fits.
Well, you see, they would argue that's not the case. This Fincol is just the general detergent that's always used around the place now.
Yeah. It is something I've read about it, and I actually spoke to a few friends that were telling me about it. The way it's positioned, the way they used to put the bleach out, is they'd have a bucket of bleach or a container of bleach up in the shower room, away from the office, but now all the cleaning equipment is kept pretty well locked under key, and you have to go and ask for it to give it. And I mean, like, there's plenty of people who go up there and say, okay, we just want to clean the bathrooms and so forth, but a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, believe that they're going to be put on show and that the attention is going to be drawn to them by using this stuff.
Okay, well, given that, this is a similar concern that prisoners have. If there was a needle exchange program in the jail, they're worried that officers, everybody will know that they're a user. So tell me about different models and how one could get around this.
Okay, well, one of the models, and the one that they're referring to, is where they have a register where inmates that wish to be able to have access to the sterile equipment register as a drug user and as an injecting drug user with the jail, and supposedly nothing punitive is going to happen to them if they go ahead. I actually would probably, if I was sitting in there, I'd probably feel pretty much the same as them. There is another model which is actually quite good, and it's had a lot of research done to it, and that's where each prisoner, as upon entry, when they're given their clothes and so forth and going to their cell, is given what's known as a dummy pack, which will have a syringe in it without a sharp on it, often a rubber syringe that's completely fake, and that is to be kept on a shelf within the cell in the open. Okay, so everybody has these. If somebody wants to swap it for an actual piece of equipment, a sterile piece of equipment, they take the dummy to the vending machine, it's fed into the top of the vending machine. When it accepts it, it spits out a brand new fit down the bottom. By doing that, they've got condom machines which are similar at the moment, where you just walk up and you can turn a handle and get a pack given to you with condoms and lube and so forth. They could do something very similar with clean injecting equipment, where nobody has to put their name up and everybody who walks in that door is given the dummy pack. Now, if you're not an injecting drug user and you don't want to use it, you just leave the pack sitting on the shelf that it's supposed to be left on. And that saves also the worry about needle stick injuries. Something that the corrective services won't give out as information at the moment is how many of their officers are routinely given needle stick injuries while searching cells. Because at the moment, the needles are hidden and hidden from view. Officers go into the cells whilst the inmates are standing outside of the cells. They're ripped apart, they're searched everywhere for contraband. A lot of officers are getting needle stick injuries and it's not necessary.
Hmm. Okay, so this particular model that you're talking about, has that been used anywhere overseas?
Yes, it has been used in Spain. But if you look on the net under NEPs in Spain, there's a huge amount of research that's been done on it there. And they said that this actual model has been working in no problems whatsoever. There's been no increase in drug use. Nobody's been attacked with them and used as a weapon. I know this is one of the things that the custodial officers are very concerned about, but I put to them, how many of you are now being stuck with needles that you don't know about? And Belarus, that's the other one that I know that is using the dummy fit.
Look, Wayne, thank you so much and best of luck. I know I'm talking to you before the forum, although listeners are listening to this after the forum's taken place, but I hope it's successful.
Thank you very much.
Be healthy when I'm set free. Someone help me stop the spread of disease. We got condom machines, so come on, please. Need a needle exchange, that's what we need. You can monitor it all from the clinic staff. It won't be all of us, not even half. Here are easily caught. Don't discriminate, but infect us all. Is anyone listening? Please hear my call. Now, needle exchange is what we say to keep us safe each and every day.
I'm Ariane and this is Jailbreak, and we're marking National Hepatitis Awareness Week by hearing from speakers who were participants in a forum titled Needle Exchange Programs in Australian Prisons, Making It Happen. The forum held in Canberra was hosted by AVIL, the Australian Injecting and Illicit Drug Users League. Now, Dr. Alex Wodak, Director of St. Vincent's Hospital Alcohol and Drug Service, was one of the speakers, and I caught up with him prior to the forum. Dr. Alex Wodak, welcome to Jailbreak.
Thank you.
Alex, why are needle exchange programs the harm minimisation answer to injecting drug use in jail?
Well, for the same reason they are so important in communities, there's prisons and community have a lot in common, much more in common than people realise. Drugs are, whether we like it or not, readily available in most countries in the world in the community, and the same is true within prisons. Maybe not quite as available in prisons, but the way drugs are used in prisons is much more dangerous even than in the community, and particularly dangerous in terms of spread of HIV and other bloodborne viruses. So in order to counter that threat, we've got to have the needle syringe programs in the prisons as well as having them in the community.
Mm. And the way they work in the community is that means that people don't have to share injecting equipment. They can get clean injecting equipment each time.
Yes, that's right. And it's the sharing of needles and syringes that's responsible for about 30% of all the HIV infections in the world outside sub-Saharan Africa. So that's a great deal of a very large number of infections. And if authorities want to control HIV in a country, they've got to control HIV in the injecting drug use population. Otherwise, they've got no hope of controlling it in the general population.
And do you feel similarly about hepatitis C?
Not quite, because hepatitis C doesn't really spread so much from the injecting drug users into the general population, but it's a very serious public health problem today in 2008, and we know that it's going to get a lot worse. And in terms of cost to the community, to the overall community, the costs would be pretty similar.
Okay. Well, at the forum, you're going to be speaking about the international evidence. Could you tell us what hope the overseas experience of needle exchange programs offers to Australian prisoners?
Well, we've got about a dozen, 13 countries that have got needle syringe programs going in prisons. And it all started about 15 years ago. And what's clear from this international experience is firstly that the rate at which countries are now starting to adopt and implement prison needle syringe needle exchange programs is increasing. It was pretty slow to start off with, but in the last 5 years it's picked up. Secondly, we've got all the information that is available now is points to the needle exchange programs in prisons being as effective as they are in the community. Thirdly, and this is very, very important, there's no hint from any of the international experience, that is of prison needle exchange in the dozen or so countries around the world, there's no hint of any serious, unpleasant side effect that you wouldn't want to have associated with a needle exchange. And in particular, there's no indication that anyone has used a needle or a syringe as a weapon, nor has there been any other significant nasty side effect of having prison needle exchange.
And my understanding is also that the level of drug use in jails doesn't increase if you introduce a needle exchange program.
Yes, that's. I thank you for pointing that out. That's true. There's no research so far that shows that, just as there's no research after almost 20 years of looking in the community to show that having needle exchange in the community increases the amount of drug use.
So as a respected doctor internationally in the harm reduction field, what do you think has to happen if needle exchange programs are really ever going to be a reality in Australian jails?
Well, firstly, I do think they will be a reality in Australian jails. It's not a question of whether, it's a question of when. Secondly, we've got significant problems to overcome, and firstly, we've got the problems of getting politicians who are prepared to show leadership on this issue, and of course, many politicians, when it comes to prisons, want to pander to mass prejudice, and the second problem we have is that that we have got a significant problem with many of the corrections unions. Corrective services unions are opposed on ideological grounds to having needle exchange programs running in prisons. But I think we've been through this kind of problem again and again in the AIDS epidemic, and ultimately reason and compassion does end up doing what you'd hope it would do, but it just takes a lot of time and a lot of talking.
So I know that the forum is about making it happen. I mean, obviously the forum isn't going to make it happen. Have you got any ideas?
One of the things we've learnt in the epidemic is the importance of persistence. And somewhere or other in Australia, there'll be one jurisdiction where the prison system allows the needle syringe programs to operate, and then we'll find, as we did with the community programs, that all the others will follow rapidly. One of the reasons I think that people don't understand why this issue is so important is that, firstly, not only is drug use so common in prisons, whatever we like to do to try and stop the drugs coming into prison, they still seem to find their way into prisons, and the more we try and stop them, the more they come into prisons. Second reason is that the implements that the drug injectors use inside the prisons to inject drugs are very worn down, very damaged versions of needles and syringes that are used out in the community. And the more worn out and damaged the needles and syringes are, the more likely they are to, unfortunately, to transmit the infection from one person to another. Third factor is that in the community, sharing of needles and syringes is done from very restricted networks. A drug injector who continues to inject in prison, and 50% of them do, may have as many as 100 sharing partners over the course of a year, and outside the prison might have is likely to have something like 6 or 7. So, finally, the prison population turns over so rapidly. That is to say, the average prison sentence in Australia is about 4 months. So we have the prison population turning over 3 times on average each year. And that means that although on any one day there are not many people in Australian prisons, over the course of the year, there are many people who enter and leave the prison. So it's no good thinking of prisons as being places where the virus is quarantined. We know that doesn't happen. If there's an infection that's rampant in the prison, it's soon going to be rampant in the community.
Hmm. So it really, really is in the to the community's advantage to have a needle exchange program operating in all prisons.
Definitely.
Alex Wodak, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That was, I think, a pragmatic Dr. Alex Wodak, one of the speakers at a forum hosted by AVIL in Canberra today titled Needle Exchange Programs in Australian Prisons, Making It Happen. And Dr. Alex Wodak is the Director of Drug and Alcohol Services at St. Vincent's Hospital. Thanks also to Steve Lipke and Wayne Kappa from AVIL. And the tune that you've been listening to was recorded out at Long Bay Jail, I think in 2002, by the guys out there with the help of Murray Cook. And that song came about as a result of a debate that took place in a program that I was running out there at the Lifestyles Unit when that still existed at Long Bay. I'm Ariane and you've been listening to Jailbreak, and I'm going to leave you with No Puedo Vivir Sin Esperanza. You'll have to excuse my Spanish, which means I can't live without hope, and I think that just about sums up this debate. This was recorded at John Moroney 2 Correctional Centre quite a number of years ago now in what they called the studio.
Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanzas. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanza. Si el destino me lleva hasta el final y esta canción me ayuda a soportar, estoy seguro que mi vida cambiará y la esperanza a mi pecho llegará. no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanzas. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanzas. La soledad sin amor me domina. Mi corazón no deja de sufrir. Si tú vinieras, yo podría encontrar las esperanzas y el amor que me hacen falta. Las esperanzas y el amor para vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Y yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanzas. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir. Yo no puedo vivir sin esperanzas. La soledad sin amor me domina. Mi corazón no deja de sufrir. Si tú vinieras, yo podría encontrar las esperanzas y el amor que me hacen falta. Las esperanzas y el amor para vivir.